Hello, I'm here with John Tolman, National Vice President and National Legislative Representative. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm starting off, I guess. Could you give a little background on yourself?
Sure. I'm a locomotive engineer out of Boston. Mostly worked on Amtrak, but did my share amount of freight as well. Hideout 1971, so I'm an old-timer. I am been blessed in 1996. The International hired me as a special rep, and in 06 I was elected as a vice president, national legislative rep. But in my deal was in 96 when they hired me that I had to move to Cleveland, Ohio from Massachusetts, which I had three children. I still have three children, thank God. Their ages 3, 9, and 12 at the time, so that was a little difficult for the 12-year-old, but the others just did great. We lived there for 16 years, and I recently, well, 5.5 years ago, moved back to Massachusetts. But in all the time I worked for the National Division, I actually did about everything possibly that you can think of, whether it was organizing, education training, being involved in the safety task force that works with the NTSB on major accident investigations. So I'm certainly well-rounded in what goes on in the national division.
As a national legislative rep, what all does that consist of?
Well, the office is in Washington, D.C., and that's the majority of my time. I'm always on the road. I'm usually in Washington, D.C., and when Congress is in session, we try to be there. And the office basically takes care of all the political, legislative, and regulatory activity that goes on in the railroad industry. And, we try to educate Congress and the various branches of government that we come under, whether it's the National Mediation Board, the FRA, our TSA, Homeland Security. I mean, we have a lot of different things that we're involved in and try to educate them as to the safety of the railroad industry, as well as political, what our views are in politics, and try to get them to see that the labor movement is here to stay and you should be working with us.
If you could talk a little bit about our PAC fund.
Well, the PAC fund for the Brotherhood is a little over $500,000. My goal when I was elected in 06 was to get it to $1 million. It was just about it was right around $270,000 when I first was elected, and in my eyes, I failed. It should be up to $1 million, and there's only 1/3 of our brothers and sisters that participate in the PAC. And the PAC fund, for every dollar that you pay into the PAC fund, 50 cents goes to the state legislative boards, and 50 cents goes to the national division. And all that money is used to elect politicians that best represent the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen's interest most importantly is safety, the safety of us operating trains every day and anything that's surrounded by that. There's many laws that could be looked at. Is one that we're currently concerned about is long trains. The trip optimize, PTC, all these things that are in the locomotive that, basically disrupt our work and make it a little bit more difficult, if nothing else. PTC... The Brotherhood fought to make sure that we had PTC or some form of PTC in heavy traveled corridors. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because since 1969, PTC could have prevented 145 major rail accidents, could have prevented 288 deaths, and 6,574 injuries. And that, you know, the most hurtful thing of my job in Washington, D.C. is when we find out that another brother or sister has died in the industry. And I worked an accident. I didn't work this accident, but his family, mom and dad, came to me, Chris Sealing, when he had succumbed in North Carolina to, he was operating a train in dock territory. The switch was misaligned, and he went into a siding and struck a two chlorine tank cars, and one of them ruptured. Both him and the conductor got off the engine and walked into the emergency ward, but the conductor knew enough. He was educated just a very little that he went upwind, and the engineer, Chris Sealing, wasn't ever taught that you should, you know, go upwind and not downwind. So he ingested more chlorine than he could adapt to when he succumbed. He was 28 years old. I have a picture of him on my bookshelf in my office, and anytime I get complacent about what I should or shouldn't be doing for the Brotherhood, I take a look at him, and it reminds you why I'm here and what our goal is. Because there's no way in the world that any person should ever go to work and not come home alive. And I will do my damnedest to continue to fight that fight and to make sure that it's safe out there. I mean, we have enough obstacles in front of us to move that train to A to B, whether it's being called in all hours of the night, going to work late or whatever. It's the whole goal is to make sure try to prevent that so it never, never, never happens again to an individual and his family.
That's pretty powerful. Which leads right into, what does the union mean to you?
Well, you know, I'm a second-generation railroader. My dad was a UTU general chairman, and and my three of my brothers, David, Jim, and Steven, all work for the railroad. There are eight of us, but four of us worked in the, so that's 50%. But, I mean, I watched my dad growing up having his members come over and sleeping on the couch. And one of them was, so there were several of them in our lives as we were, three, four, five, 8 years old. We had a three-family house like everybody, a three-bedroom house like everybody else, and one bathroom, and nine people living there, two dogs. And then we had Walter Queen sleeping on the couch. And Walter Queen, the reason he was there is because he was, my father was helping him get clean, get off alcohol. And I remember he was sick. I said, "Mom, why is he here?" And she'd say, "He's got the flu." And I said, "Oh, my God, we're all going to get the flu then." And we didn't know any better. But right. It was my father trying to help, you know, his union brothers and sisters out. And, you know, it provided all of us to grow and be able to go to college if we so desired. And though, you know, that was a unique opportunity, and that's what we all need to strive for. That, you know, there's one party that wants to eliminate the labor movement, and the reason they want to eliminate the labor movement because we're the only one that stands in the way of middle class America. And you know, it is the Republican Party, unfortunately, and they're very headstrong to try to get this done, and it's a shame. The party politics in Washington, D.C. is just got everything at a standstill to move things forward, and it's very disappointing and disheartening. And, you know, the labor movement, when we stick together as one and unite as one, we can make a difference in politics and in the livelihood of middle-class America.
What are some of the good attributes that in today's organization that we belong to? What are the good that you see, and what challenges do we have coming up that we need to correct?
Well, there's, you know, the apathy in the labor movement, our brothers and sisters not being either not being engaged or not being informed or not caring to be informed or engaged. But it is vital to the future and in our existence. And you know, by solidarity and sticking together and negotiating together, I mean, last negotiating session, it was the first time we ever negotiated with the UTU in many, many, many years, way too long, in our smart transportation. It's certainly the way to go, because our issues are the same. We sit on
our brothers across the cab.
Absolutely. And it's important and to do that into the future. So and it provides by negotiating together as a group, it's you're better in numbers. You should get better results, but who knows?
Well, hopefully. Do you have any final thoughts for us today?
Just to all our brothers and sisters, this is your union. You are the union. It's not the offices that we represent the union, but we all represent the union as a member. And our mere survival depends on everybody doing a little bit better. These midterm elections are pivotal for our survival. We need everybody engaged and everybody to be on the ball and help out a candidate that can best represent the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers. And we all know we have our social and cultural issues that are a little bit different than some of the labor movement's thoughts and process, but our goal as a labor movement is not tied up in social and cultural issues, but representing the Brotherhood to the best of our ability and not getting caught up in the cultural, social, but trying to educate our brothers that so much of this election, so much of our future depends on it, whether it's the FELA law, the FRA, or the mere survival of the right to work, railroad retirement. I mean, these things are under attack, will be under attack. Every time they mention Social Security, they're talking about railroad retirement. They don't have to mention it. That's a fact. We need to be cognitive of that and be engaged and don't let your guard down. And, you know, I'm proud to be a union man. Today, the nation's polling says 62% think highly of a union. It's a 16-year high. Last year, in 2017, 300,000 new members joined the AFL-CIO. 75% of them were under the age of 35 years old. I mean, we need to grow the labor movement. We need to fight the fight. And the day that we remain silent on things that matter is the day that we're going to lose. So you need to be engaged, and everybody needs to be engaged.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, John.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Appreciate this opportunity.